Welcome back to The Lighter Side, episode number 4. I'm Joe Grammatico, along with Zach Kaliopoulos. Zach, how's it going?
Hey, not too bad, Joe. Getting ready to talk some more hockey here.
Yeah, I heard you went to the Wings game last night.
Yep, I did. Way up in the nosebleeds after getting scammed on some lower bowl tickets that me and my brother bought. So that was a little bit of a bummer, but overall, you know, just nice to get in the atmosphere. Wish we could have pulled off the W, though.
What happened? You got StubHubbed?
Yeah, StubHubbed would be the right way to put it, for sure.
Man, I was down at Little Caesars recently, but more exciting than a hockey game, I went to go watch Disney on Ice with the kids.
Yeah, there you go. So, I bet they loved that, though, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing more exciting than watching Mickey Mouse and Disney characters skate around on the ice for 2 hours.
Hey, there you go.
Well, good. So glad you got to see it. How do the Wings look up close in person?
You know, that's one good perk to sitting up in the nosebleeds. You kind of got that. You kind of see everything from a higher perspective and really see the play develop. And you know, that's one thing I was a little disappointed. Our forwards seem to be lacking on getting back on the back check and really picking up an open man, as well as the defensemen just poor. Even for the past few years, but you know, I was hoping it kind of be an issue that would get fixed. Their body positioning in front of the net, and you know, just tying up that loose forward on the far post and kind of getting his stick instead of just letting them sit there on the doorstep for a rebound. It happened. I think it was Daly on one of the goals. Didn't even get his stick on the guy, but that was two big things that I was a little disappointed about seeing.
Yeah, you know what I noticed last night watching on the Vancouver side, just the poise of Quinn Hughes. He looks like a 10-year NHL veteran out there. I think might have been the second period. He carried the puck down low into the corner on the far side, and nice little spin move getting the puck out center. He just doesn't seem to be rattled at all. It's just like a smooth transition for him this season into the big leagues. Smooth skater, quarterback in the power play out there, and I think the Canucks really hit a home run on that seventh overall pick for sure.
Oh yeah, you know, I kind of put a little bit more eye to him last night, knowing that he's one of your favorites, and yeah, he just seemed he seemed real calm out there. Nothing really gets to him too much, so he should have a pretty promising future if he can keep that up.
And Horvat, the new captain of the Canucks, comes through the hat trick.
Yep.
Some power play goals, and then that, you know, long empty netter from inside his own blue line there at the end of the game to cap it off. Yeah, it seems like a pretty solid 40 minutes for the Wings. Definitely a lot closer game than a 5-2 final, but it seemed like those two penalties, end of the second, early third, really power play goals they gave up really took the wind out of their sails. They never recovered after that one.
Yeah, you know, just another one of those things that a lot of the guys on the team know themselves. You just got to play a more full, consistent 60 minutes of hockey, 200 feet ice, you know. You got to play a full 200 feet. So it's just not quite there, but they'll get there. You know, one guy I was really excited, they brought Svechnikov back up, and I was kind of happy with his game. He was kind of getting a little physical. Getting in the gritty areas and letting everyone know he wants a spot in the team. So I was kind of had a few shots and opportunities with the puck on his stick as well. So that was good to see from a young player like him coming back off of a big knee injury like he had.
Yeah, they definitely Vancouver is pushing him around a little bit, but he was standing his own ground. So it was good to see that he wasn't gonna be pushed around.
Yeah, definitely.
Other Wings news, veteran Jonathan Erickson waived yesterday, cleared waivers today. I'm not sure if he's going to report to Grand Rapids or not, but is this going to be the end of the road for Jonathan Erickson's career?
You know, I'm sure you'd get a lot of fans out there hoping it is the end of the road for Jonathan Erickson. You know, I mean, I'm kind of right there with him. He just seems like he's getting to that age now where he's you know, he's kind of more of a liability than an asset. He's not on the ice enough, and getting that consistency down that, you know, a young team that we have needs. And, you know, it might be a good time to part ways with Jonathan Erickson.
All right. Well, on episode four here today, we're going to cover our, we're filming or actually recording on Wednesday this week due to some scheduling conflicts. So a day early, before all of our picks are in. So we'll have to update our picks, next week and wrap that up. But we're going to go over the weekly recap, Jack Hughes, some teams still on red hot starts. The best duos came up again this weekend. What's going on in Minnesota? And in lieu of Chris Phillips getting his number retired later this season in Ottawa, saw an interesting article of Red Wings whose number should be retired. So we're going to cover that on today's show. So we talked about Jack Hughes a couple of times already. First overall pick, that's going to happen. Last week when we recorded, he recorded his first NHL point that night, an assist. Follows that up, gets his first National Hockey League goal playing at home against his brother Quinn. 1-0 shutout, ends up being the game-winning goal. His family and friends are there. Has Jack Hughes finally arrived?
I think I'm gonna say he has arrived. That was a huge goal for him. Taylor Hall held onto that puck pretty nice, was real patient, was able to kind of find the seam and get it over to him. And Jack just had a quick release, put it in the right spot. And you really seen him get fired up. He knew how much that meant to score his first NHL goal against Big Bro. So it'll be interesting to see if he carries on that momentum and kind of steps on the gas a little bit here.
That was a beautiful shot. He looked like a 50-goal scorer with that one.
Yeah, most definitely.
So Color or Edmonton loses last night, shut out by the struggling Minnesota Wild team, 3-0. Overall, Edmonton's been on fire this year. Slowed down a little bit, as I mentioned last night. Colorado and Buffalo still rolling along, one loss apiece for each team. What do you like in Buffalo, Colorado, and Edmonton? Can they sustain this red hot starts?
I mean, those type of starts are they're hard to sustain, but I do think they will both be, in the red of being over 500, or all three of those teams will be, 500 or up, in my opinion. They just got a lot of talent if everyone can stay healthy. Talking about that last week, we went over duos, and I think you can talk about Connor McDavid and Draisaitl possibly being today's best duo in the NHL. Those guys just both complement each other so well, and they're going to have points on the board each game. So.
Yeah, that came up. I saw it tweeted out. NHL and NBC tweeted it out on Saturday, I believe it was. The question, McDavid and Draisaitl, are they the current best duo in the league? So let's assume that they listen to our podcast and swipe that from us. But yeah, McDavid, 17 points already to start. Draisaitl with 16. One of them's just a smooth, fast, all-around, can do everything. And Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, big, strong, power forward at center. Just, great young talents there in Edmonton, and they're rolling along.
Yeah, I think James Neal, I think he might be up there for top goals in the NHL as well. I'm not sure, that could have changed in the past previous few days here, but I know he was up there, and that'll be a big asset and a tribute to them going down the line if he can kind of just stay consistent, even if he's not scoring goals. I think he's a playmaker that'll be able to open up a lot of open ice for the other two, and kind of keep things in stride for them.
Yeah, David Pastrnak took over the scoring lead last night. He got his 10th goal, the first player to 10 goals this season
Okay.
in Boston's win over Toronto. But yeah, Neal's at 9 goals. He's having one heck of a start up there in Manitoba, playing well. I'm sorry, up there in Alberta with the Edmonton Oilers. So a nice start for him with his new team. So Minnesota Wild, they were struggling along this season. Zucker comes out, makes a few comments, challenges his team, challenges the coach to do better. Now they've rattled off a couple victories, including shutting out Colorado last night. Is Minnesota going to bounce back and get out of the cellar now?
It's tough to say. They had quite the slow start. I thought they would have kind of bounced back a little sooner than they have. But you know, maybe that's just what it takes sometimes for a well-respected player to kind of speak up and fire everybody up in the locker room a little bit. And, you know, maybe even challenge the coach a little bit too to kind of put in a few extra hours and a little bit of different aspects and the way he views, maybe even just switching the lines around and kind of changing up game plan. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I definitely think they have the pieces to be a much better team than what they've put together so far on the start of this season. So that'll be good to kind of follow down the line.
I can't let it go without mentioning the Toronto Maple Leafs. Through 11 games, they're starting 5-4-2 on the season. They're third in the Atlantic Division. I saw an article this morning, and I forget who it was written by, but it was a hot take, and the hot take was that Mike Babcock would be fired by the Toronto Maple Leafs this season. Do you see that happening?
You know, I actually did scroll upon that as well. You know, I think it may be a little bit of a hot take there, exactly. I think he has a little bit more time there to prove himself a little bit. But you know, with that big contract he signed, I think he was, you know, the top paid coach, and you know, there's obviously a lot of pressure and expectation that comes with that. You know, I think if they don't gear things up and make a little bit of a playoff push this year, he might be in trouble.
Yeah, so it's interesting to watch, and we'll see how Toronto plays as they keep moving things forward this season. So let's get in just a quick week in review. So let's talk about these Red Wings whose jerseys should be retired. So I stumbled upon this article on thehockeywriters.com, and as I was reading about Chris Phillips, and Ottawa announced he was going to retire his number 4 later this season. The Red Wings, of course, retired the number 4 of Red Kelly last year. I found an article on the Hockey Writers, 7 Detroit Red Wings numbers that should be retired. Now, there's a 3 on here that we can't really mention anything about. They're way before our time, but there's four guys on here that are interesting that we could have a discussion about. So let me just run through. Currently, for the Red Wings, obviously, the number 1 at Terry Sawchuk's retired. You got the number 4, Red Kelly, went up last year. Number 5 of Nick Lidstrom, number 7 of Ted Lindsay, the number 9 for Gordie Howe, number 10 Alex Delvecchio, number 12 is Sid Abel, and the number 19 is Steve Yzerman. So according to their article, the first three, that's mentioned, the number 2 of Jack Stewart, known as Black Jack Stewart, was a defenseman for the Red Wings back in 1939 through 1950. He had 115 points in his career as a Red Wing. He's known as a feared defender around the NHL during his 10 years. Didn't score much, but was the big checker, the hard hitter for Detroit's first two Stanley Cups. Outside of that much neither of us know about Jack Stewart, so no comment on whether that number 2 should be up in the rafters. The next mention was the number 3 of Marcel Pronovost. He played for the Wings from 1949 to 1965 and then spent 5 years in Toronto. 345 career points. He still ranks second for games played by a defenseman for the Red Wings and sixth career Red Wing points. And then you got the number 6 of Larry Henry. His number was actually retired by James Norris back in 1938, the former owner, but it's not officially recognized by the Ilitch family. Number's been out of circulation for a long time. He was known as the top player for the Red Wings for their first two Stanley Cups in 1936-37, was a Wing from 1927 to 1939. So nothing that we can add to those first three, but the next four is where it gets a little bit interesting. So according to the Hockey Writers, the next one, Pavel Datsyuk, the number 13 of Pavel Datsyuk. They say his number should be in the rafters at the Little Caesars Arena. 14 seasons with the Red Wings from 2001 to 2016, 918 career points in 953 National Hockey League games. The guy won 2 Stanley Cups, 4 Lady Byng trophies, 3 Selkies. What are your thoughts on Pavel Datsyuk? Should the number 13 be up in the rafters or no?
Yeah, you know, I do think it belongs there, but you know, being that Pavel's not quite done with his playing career, I think that's one of those guys that you kind of wait on, and more of the time's not quite right there. But You know, there are a few guys that I'm sure that we'll be touching on here that I do believe are 100% a good time frame that they could possibly even go up in the rafters this year. So,
yeah, it's hard to really set a criteria as far as what a person means to a franchise, and you know, each franchise has their different criteria for who, what, and how you get your number retired up the rafters. Sure. I'm kind of on the fence about Datsyuk. He's close to a point per game, which is phenomenal, especially in the league where in an era where defense really took over, the goalies got bigger, defense became a bigger part of the game. You know, he's got the individual accolades. He was one of the best defensive forwards in the league.
Right, right.
You could really say that he was the first great superstar of the 21st century for the Detroit Red Wings. Just little on the fence about it. I could go either way. I wouldn't be upset if the number 13 was up there, but I'd understand, you know,
yeah,
why it wouldn't be.
Yeah, you know, I can kind of see where you're coming from there. I think, you know, even comparing him to, you know, Zetterberg, when Zetterberg came into the league, you know, they kind of came along together. And Pavel, he just didn't seem to have quite as much of a voice and a leadership role, which I feel like a lot of the guys who have their jerseys retired kind of had that, and kind of were a little bit more of that full, well-rounded player, I guess you could say. But you know, again, you know, the Magic Man, you can't take away his personal accomplishments by any means.
The next one on this list is the number 16 of Vladimir Konstantinov. Vladdy played six seasons with the Red Wings from 1991 to 1997, had 175 points, was known for his thunderous hits, he won a Stanley Cup, then of course just days later was involved in that horrible car crash that ended his career. What do you think about the number 16 for Vladimir Konstantinov? His number's been out of circulation since that day, but should it be officially on the in the rafters or no?
Yeah, you know, that's another tough one, but I wouldn't mind seeing them kind of, you know, pay homage to him, and you know, being that was such a impactful situation that touched so many, especially that team, and just the time that they were so successful, and the, you know, the Russian guys being a big part of that. I wouldn't mind seeing him up in the rafters. You know, I mean, he was when the short time he played with us, you know, the guy was a brick wall out there and very skilled as well. He kind of, you know, he was another one of those kind of rushing defensemen, but he could also sit back and kind of lay a big hit as well. So I would like to see his number retired just to kind of pay homage, like I said.
Yeah, I think for a storied franchise, an original six like the Red Wings, I mean, it sucks what happened to him. You could probably make a case that had that accident not happened, that he would have all the accolades to have his number retired. But I just think with the short time that he spent with the Red Wings, I'm fine with him keeping his number out of circulation and never letting anyone wear it again. But I just don't think that the number should end up in the rafters. You know, with the other legends that are up there. But you know, again, if it was up there, I wouldn't gripe about it. But I just think with, you know, you got a franchise like the Red Wings, there's a lot of other players out there that, you know, meant more and contributed more to the franchise throughout their career. So the next guy, number 40 of Henrik Zetterberg, 15 seasons, from 2002 to 2018. The most recent captain of the Detroit Red Wings, 960 points in 1,082 NHL games, a Conn Smythe Trophy for the MVP of the playoffs, as well as a King Clancy Award. What are your thoughts on the number 40 of Henrik Zetterberg being in the
Red? Yeah, you know, this one's easy for me. Big Z was always one of my favorite Red Wings. Just the how strong he was on his stick, you know. You know, you'll always see him kind of hold onto the puck with that backhand and just kind of shed defenders off. You know, just kind of keeping his base in a low to the ice and kind of, you know, use that forearm and his outside leg to kind of fend defenders off and just, you know, hold on to that puck and wait for an open man to kind of find some ice and get the puck over for a nice scoring opportunity. But, you know, Zetterberg just seemed like he was, once Lidstrom and guys like that kind of stepped away, he seemed to really step up and take that leadership role. And even in his later years with the Wings, facing a lot of injuries, he was such an impactful player night in and night out. And, he was usually one of the best guys on the ice for both teams. And I think that says a lot right there. I would think that you would probably have to wait a little bit longer to retire his jersey, being that he just recently kind of left the league in the game of hockey. But I think a few years down the line, would probably be a rightful choice to put him up there.
Yeah, I don't think it's a retire immediately, like an Yzerman and Lidstrom, a quick turnaround on the retirement of the jersey. But yeah, I could see again, right with same thing with Datsyuk. I mean, you could say, they're one and two, the two great players of the 21st century, for the Detroit Red Wings here. Kind of the same thing, I would say that if you're comparing the two, Datsyuk to Zetterberg probably didn't garner the national attention and individual accolades, that Datsyuk did, and the popularity throughout the league. But locally, Zetterberg, like you said, he is kind of like the next known leader on the team, could lead by example, his hard work, played through pain for a number of years. And so, yeah, I could see the same thing with Datsyuk. I could see the case if it is up there one day. I could also understand why it wouldn't be up there someday. Yeah. But I think in both cases, they might even go up together, years down the road.
I think that would kind of be a cool idea if they were to do that.
Yeah, they were known as the Euro Twins, so it would.
Yep.
I could see that happening, both numbers in the same night sometime down the road.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, the last one on the list here, and it's not really debatable, I think most people would agree, but the number 91 is Sergei Fedorov. He spent 13 seasons in Detroit from 1990 to 2003. He played 20 seasons total. He had 954 points in 908 games during his time with the Red Wings. He won a Hart Trophy for the MVP of the league, two Selkies for best defensive forward, a Lester Pearson voted on as the most valuable player by his peers. And that was at a time when Mario Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier, and all those guys were, Jagr, were out on the ice competing with him. So Sergei Fedorov, I think that's a no-brainer that the 91 should be in the rafters at Little Caesars. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is one that's kind of should be set in stone as well. I remember when I was growing up, I used to fall asleep each night watching a VHS tape of that team, and when they were making kind of the push for around the 94 to 96 era. And I just remember watching Fedorov, the amount of defenders that he'd draw towards him when he was kind of moving through the neutral zone with the puck, and kind of, he was a real dynamic player, opened up a lot of ice for Yzerman and Shanahan and whoever else they paired him with. And just a guy that made things happen night in and night out. You knew if you were going to a game, you knew you were going to see something pretty amazing. So
yeah, I mean, obviously Fedorov, there was a lot, he had the contract dispute. He missed half the season after the 97 Cup, and he signs towards the end of the year, comes back in 98 after a long holdout. After the 2002 season, he finished out his contract and ended up, going elsewhere and leaving Detroit, headed out to the West Coast. And, I was with the fans that used to boo him when he came back. Everyone, I think, kind of had that feeling that Sergei turned his back on us. Like, how could he do that after we helped him, defect from Russia? But, I mean, I think if you put yourself in Sergei's shoes, I mean, that guy, I mean, he was the main event. I mean, yep. We had Steve Yzerman, everyone kind of grew up with him from the time he was 18, 19, starting in Detroit. So he was always the number one. And Sergei was always viewed as the number two guy. But in reality, I mean, Sergei was the showstopper. He was the main event.
Yep.
He was the elite of the elite. And he did everything well, offense, defense. Heck, he even played defense when Scotty Bowman threw him back there, and he was one of the best defensemen in the league during that time. So, I mean, the guy is just, he was so fluid, you know, so good, so powerful. I mean, the guy brought Nike into hockey. Remember how those Nike skates and Nike commercials? And he was prime time. He was like Deion Sanders of the National Hockey League. So, I mean, I think Sergei, the Ilitch family needs to bury the hatchet and get over, you know, whatever hard feelings there were from back then, and you know, get that number 91 up there in the rafters. I mean, Sergei deserves it. I mean, the fans deserve to go to the game and see it up there. Sergei deserves for, you know, little kids being at the game with their dad looking up there and saying, "Hey, Dad, who's that 91, that Fedorov guy? Did you ever see him play? You know, was he any good?" Like, I mean, Sergei deserves that. You know what they need to do? They need to have a Sergei Fedorov day for the retirement ceremony. Open up the beer garden down there. When Washington's in town, on a early October or late March game, and have just a big block party and play some Fedorov highlights on that huge screen that's out there in the beer garden, and just make a day long party to celebrate.
I couldn't agree more, because I think Fedorov was kind of that player. He was the new revival to the Red Wings. You know, they kind of struggled for a while, and when he came along, he brought a lot of the energy that we needed to kind of push us forward and kind of change the dynamic of the game that we played and the identity that we rolled with night in and night out, on and off the ice as well. So, you know, he kind of just he brought that shimmer to the city again that was kind of gone for a while as far as Detroit fans were concerned. And I definitely believe that that's a jersey that could be could be brought up into the rafters this year, and I definitely would love to attend a Fedorov day down in Detroit. Oh,
that would be great. That would be great. It's got to be on a day too when there's no Lions game in town and the Tiger. Yeah, but there's nothing.
Shut
else
the city
going
down.
On in the city.
Yep.
Nothing else going on. So, all right. So that's the 7 Red Wings. I mean, I've heard Shanahan's brought up before as a possible, you know, someone whose number should be retired. I don't know that he was here. I mean, he obviously was a crucial piece in getting the Red Wings over the hump and getting them to the Stanley Cups. But I don't think that he accomplished enough on a individual accolade level throughout the league during his time with the Red Wings to see that number 14 up there.
Yeah, you know, him and Chelios both are guys that, you know, I don't think they wore the winged wheel for a long enough period. You know, obviously they both were a huge part of kind of what was built here and what the Red Wings currently are kind of trying to get back to. But I agree with you. I think those two are kind of a little bit of a reach there.
All right, so let's make our picks for the week. Obviously there's a couple of games still going on tonight as we're recording before the Wednesday night games. So we'll get the update next week. So first game, Friday night, October 25th, the Buffalo Sabres are heading into Detroit. Buffalo's red hot. Detroit's playing tonight in Ottawa. Who do you like in that one?
Yeah, you know, after going to the Red Wings game last night and witnessing it firsthand, I think Buffalo's going to come in and just kind of and give us fits. You know, I don't think the Red Wings are going to be able to keep up with the scoring and the production that the young Buffalo offense is going to bring to us. And I think that one might be a little bit of a disaster, a little bit of a bloodbath coming in from Jack Eichel and some of the forwards for Buffalo.
Yeah, I think Buffalo's been red hot this year, and like you said, they're gonna come in with their speed and their skill and give the Red Wings defense some fits. And I mean, you even saw, I mean, last night, even when Jimmy Howard's standing on his head, he can only keep them in the game for so long. And so I'm gonna take Buffalo as well in that one. Saturday night, October 26th, the game will be broadcast on NBC, a rematch of the Stanley Cup Finals, the St. Louis Blues heading into Boston to take on the Bruins. Bruins are 6-1-2 currently, sitting second in the Atlantic Division. The Blues are 4-2-3. They're third in the Central. Who are you liking in this one?
I'm gonna have to take Boston. I'm a big fan of a lot of Boston's young talent, and just the overall the way they come together as a team and play for one another. I think Pasternak's gonna keep his scoring going. That's a guy that, you know, since he's been in the league, he came in and you just knew that he was gonna be an excellent talent and kind of make some big strides pretty quick. So I think that'll be a very good game, but I think Boston's gonna keep in mind that they fell short to St. Louis, and I think they're gonna come out strong and get a close win.
Yeah, I think Boston's playing really good. Like you mentioned, Pasternak, he's hot. You can't forget about Marchand. The team's just clicking, so I think Boston at home, they're going to get the upper hand and take St. Louis. So I'm going to take Boston in that one.
Yeah, it's hard to play in the Garden, too. You got to keep that in mind.
Yep. Also on Saturday night, October 26th, Hockey Night in Canada, the dream matchup growing up on Saturday night. The Maple Leafs are in Montreal taking on the Canadiens. Who do you like in that game?
When we talked about what our picks were going to be this week, this was the one game that I had a little bit of a trouble with. Kind of went back and forth. But I'm leaning a little bit more towards the Leafs with this one. I think the Maple Leafs are going to go out there and play a more well-rounded game. I think they're going to get in on the forecheck and kind of put pressure on Montreal's seasoned and veteran defensemen. But I think they're going to get in there and kind of shake things up, and they're going to get off to a quick start there. And I think that'll be another great game to hopefully tune in on and catch some of that as well.
Yeah, anytime Toronto and Montreal get together, both teams get up for that matchup. I just think it's going to come down to talent and goaltending in this one. And overall, I just think Toronto's the better team, so I'm going to stick with Toronto over Montreal in that one. Sunday, October 27th, the defending Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues come into town to take on the Red Wings.
You know what? I'm going to have to go with the Red Wings on this one. I think this is going to be one of those games that the Red Wings kind of bounce back and come out strong and just put a more consistent 60 minutes of hockey together. And, you know, I think the goaltending on our side is going to be a big factor. They're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to stop a solid 35 plus shots on goal. But I think we may get a few bounces go our way, and I think we may possibly come out with the victory on that one.
This one I had a tough one with, but I'm going to go with St. Louis. They're playing the night before in Boston. They're on a road trip heading into Detroit. I just think that St. Louis is a big team. They're a tough team.
Yep.
Tough to play against. I just think they're going to be too much for Detroit on the back end of the St. Louis. You know, they're going to be in Boston Saturday and be in Detroit Sunday. It could be a brutal game for St. Louis on Saturday. I'm kind of on the fence on it, but I'm just going to stick with St. Louis in that one to knock out Detroit.
Yeah, you know, I like how you touch on them being a big physical team. I think that when I see St. Louis, that's kind of the identity they're built around and kind of the style of game that they try to bring each night. You know, I feel like the Red Wings seem to struggle with that too. They're a little bit soft in some areas, and guys seem to kind of be timid and shy away from some puck battles along the board. So I don't think that's a bad pick in any sense. I just hope that the Red Wings can kind of squeeze by on that one.
All right, the last game, Tuesday, October 29th, the Tampa Bay Lightning are headed in to Madison Square Garden to take on the Rangers. That'll be nationally broadcast on NBC. Who do you like in that one?
You know, Tampa Bay hasn't gotten off to as quick of a start as I've expected as far as points and scoring's gone for some of their higher-end players like Kucherov. I thought he would have got to a little bit hotter start right off the get, like he has in some previous years. But, you know, I think I'm still going to have to stick with Tampa Bay there. You know, the Rangers have added some big names to their roster, but I think they're going to fall a little short in that one.
Yeah, both teams have struggled. It's probably a surprise, like you mentioned, on the Tampa Bay side. The Rangers, maybe not so much as a struggle, as they're kind of still been in that rebuild mode this season. I think it's, you know, nationally televised game. It's at home. I think if Lundqvist starts, I think he'll be the differentiator in that one. So I'm gonna, with both teams struggling, I'm gonna take Lundqvist and the Rangers to take that one on Tuesday night. Those are our picks for the week, and we'll wrap up. You know, next week when we get together, we'll conclude our picks from this week. We got a couple games still active for tonight, and we'll, you know, catch up on that, and then again wrap up this week's picks that we just made. That's episode number 4 of our podcast. I hope you are enjoying these podcasts. We're really enjoying bringing them to you. It's been exciting for us. We like getting together, talk hockey. We've had a great show of support from family and friends. So Ken, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, you know, leave us a rating, write us a review. Happy to hear from you. I'd like to see what you have to say. Take your feedback. We'll start putting out some content. You can also follow us on Twitter at @Joe_Zach19, the Lighter Side Pod. You can find us on Google Podcasts. Till next time, I'm Joe.
And this is Zach.
And we'll see you next time on The Lighter Side.